there's many things I can be thankful for. First off, I want to thank my pastor for the opportunity to be able to give a Thanksgiving testimony. I also want to thank the Lord for being a God of second chances. Amen. If that's a story of my life, it would be true. He's given me second chances and third chances and fourth chances. And I can chalk it up to majorly one thing in my life. And what has made the biggest difference in my life is being raised in and being taught to be faithful to the house of the Lord. Staying in church. No matter if I was up or down or good with God or backslidden, I stayed in church. I'm so thankful for parents that taught me that by example and by word. I'm also so thankful that the Lord allowed me to meet and marry such a beautiful lady as Dawn. One that is like-minded, loves the Lord, willing to follow her husband. One that is not just a great wife, but a companion in life that complements her husband. Not just in words, but in actions. She lifts me up when I'm in my weakest and props me up in my strengths. Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord. And I can say I feel like I've obtained favor from the Lord because I've got a great wife behind me. My challenge to the young people is to find a wife such as this to the young men and to the young ladies to be a wife such as this. And no matter what you do in life, wherever life takes you, you will feel thankful in your heart. So that's what I'm thankful for this Thanksgiving. Maybe it stems from the fact that I finished harvest yesterday, and anything about a harvest or a springtime farmer's wife is she has to be patient. The stresses of farming, if you don't know anything about it, I wouldn't be able to describe it to you, but she just props me up in those 6 weeks in the spring and fall so amazingly. I can't give her enough credit for it. Thank you.
Well, I want to start out by saying thank you to God for his goodness. I was sitting over there reading the words to these songs. Thank you for the hymns. Just such a blessing. I think of this second verse of thanks to God. We don't sing this very often, but it says, thanks for prayers that thou hast answered. Thanks for what thou hast or what thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered, and thanks for all that thou supply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort and despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. Isn't that our God tonight? I think especially of the part, thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. God's good all the time. He's good when you're in pain. He's good when you're going through struggles, when you're going through hard times. But we can flip right over the next one, and it's great is thy faithfulness. And thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. That's just something that I picked out when we were in the song service. I've got so much to be thankful for. Pastor wanted me to give a testimony kind of what's going on in my life. I've been at college. I don't know if you've noticed, but if you didn't, surprise. I'm back for a little bit here, and it's a blessing. God's been so good. We just got out of spring program. We've had a great attendance. Before the spring program, our bus was averaging below 20, and at the end of spring program, we had almost 60 on the bus. So God's been good. I got to see 13 people saved personally, and we've gotten to see over 100 saved in our division. It's just been such a blessing. College life has been a blessing. God's been so good. He's given me so many blessings. But through all of that, I'm just reminded every day I couldn't be there without what I've been how I've been invested into by this church. I'm thankful for the people in this church. I'm thankful for my pastor. I wish he could be here tonight, but I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for all the messages and all the Bible doctrine. We don't understand the amount of understanding of the Bible and understanding of just spiritual things in general that we have just due to coming to church here. just due to coming and listening day in, day out, Bible studies. Our pastor is a very well-rounded preacher. He preaches on a lot of different subjects. It's incredible when you go to other churches just how different it is, and I'm so blessed in that way. I'm blessed in the people in this church that have invested into me. I think of Brother Chad, and in particular, all the time and the investment he spent taking us on youth activities, taking me to work and dealing with me and teaching me so many things. I can go pretty much anywhere and get a job. And just that is pretty incredible when you think about it, the investment. And all of that, this church, and all that I've been blessed with, I got to thank my mom. Because truth be told, I wouldn't even be saved probably without my mom. Without my mom getting us in church for the first place and deciding that we were going to stay in church and we were going to keep going to church and that I was going to go to work and pushing me to be better without my mom, I wouldn't be here for sure. I wouldn't be in college. I wouldn't be anything that I am today. The good parts, that is. The bad parts I do all on my own. Don't give her any of that credit. That's all mine, guys. And I'm thankful. I love you, Mom. I thank you. I thank the Lord for giving me so many wonderful things. I can't put into words how thankful I am. But I'm thankful.
Well, this time of year is especially meaningful to me. We all have things that we would say we're thankful for. We could say our wives, our church family, our pastor. This time of year, I kind of mulled it over today and over the last week, just thinking, you know, if I could pick maybe the top five things that I was thankful for. And the one thing that I, without a shadow of a doubt, am more thankful for than anything is the grace and mercy of what God did for us by sending his son to die on the cross for our sins. Many of you, I'm going to give it a real brief overview, but to be in church today is, for me, it's a miracle. So most of you may know that I grew up in the Middle East. So at the age of 4, went overseas, grew up in places like Cairo, Egypt, and Karachi, Pakistan. And the things that I incurred during those times, I can't mention from the pulpit. It's just not right. But thinking back on those memories, I don't look back on those things as a time of hatred or, you know, I look at it as almost sorrow, but I'm thankful for the sorrow, because without that sorrow that I went through, I would not have the outlook that I have today. And so even though a lot of the things that I went through, God was there with me. I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know who God was. I was raised as, raised in Islam, so living in a school where that's all we did from, you know, 4 a.m. to 10 p.m. was just day in and day out for 2.5 years in Karachi, just reading the Quran, you know, worshiping a false god, even though it wasn't by choice. The extent of us getting back to America and then, you know, getting in a church where we, you know, we could lose our salvation. From Islam to losing salvation to finally making my way to Bethel Baptist Church and hearing a sermon on hellfire and being led by the Holy Spirit to come forth. And Pastor says it a lot that, you know, we all make that choice to come down the aisle. There isn't a single person that's saved that hasn't had to incur the feelings of, you know, maybe this person's looking at me or they're going to judge me. But I'm thankful for a church family that I have here, because we lift each other up. We're there for each other. We pray for each other. I'm thankful for the prayers of my family here at church. I'm thankful for all the faithful men and women. We all have our parts to play. And though I have been in and out of church, God has not given up. He's not turned aside. He hasn't looked away. Like Pastor said, you know, you're in the palm of his hand. And no one can pluck you out. And when you think about it, it's amazing. All of the different things that God has given us, continues to give us, the mercy he shows us when we sin and, you know, we're not right. He's patient, he's true, he's just, he's virtuous, and the list goes on. I am truly thankful. I'm thankful for my wife and my children. I'm thankful for each and every one of you in here. Love you all. But there's something inside me that just will never put anything above the love I have for God. So that's what I'm thankful for.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm thankful for Pastor giving me the opportunity to do this. So I wrote a few things out here, and I'll try to stick with them, or I'll get off and start taking more time than I need to. But where really do you start when you talk about what you're thankful for? Where do you start also? I'm thankful for salvation and for what's already been said, mercy and grace of God, the goodness of God. I really enjoyed the message Sunday morning the pastor brought to us about being thankful for our hands. And I'm thankful for my hands. Everything I've ever did practically in my life practically has required my hands. And you think about it, you know, anything you do, you need your hands, and we just use them and don't even think about it a lot of times. As I was thinking things over after Pastor had asked me to do this, I thought about Pastor. He's very good about reminding us of our heritage, our Christian, as a family, individual family, and then Christian heritage. So I got to think about that, and I wanted to just talk about that for a minute. My Christian heritage. I called some family members just to double check, and I'm a fourth generation Christian that we know of. Now there might be some more. But none of my family I talked to knew past my great grandparents. I wanted just for a few minutes to talk about that. One of my dad's brothers I talked to, he didn't know anything about my great grandparents on my dad's side. They were all gone by the time he was born, and there's not many of those uncles left. Actually, none of my uncles or my aunt left knew their grandparents, which would be my great-grandparents on my dad's side. But I asked him about my grandmother and grandfather on my dad's side, and I remember at my grandfather's funeral, the preacher said that my grandfather had told him that he was saved and had things settled with the Lord and was certain of his salvation. And he reaffirmed that, my uncle did. And then also my grandmother, she died really in her 50s, mid-50s. She had 14 kids. And in my uncle's words, he said she was wore out. He said she wore herself out. He said she was a Christian and as faithful as she could be. He said, but the truth is, by the time she got all them ready for church, he said she was wore out, and said they had to walk to church, and so she didn't make it to church every Sunday or every time the doors was open. But he said she was a Christian, faithful. And then I called my mother, and she gave me a clear salvation testimony of her grandparents, all four of her grandparents except for my grandfather's dad, and he never had a salvation testimony, never got saved as far as anybody knows. But all of those grandparents, or my great grandparents on that side, were Christians. And then, of course, my grandmother and grandfather on my mother's side, I knew them. My grandmother died when I was 7, but I still have a good memory of her. She was, I just remember being with her in church, and she was a Christian, a faithful lady. My grandfather, we had him up until 2007, and I got to spend a lot of time with him as a young man, and just knew Pappy was always, he was going to be at church. He was going to be in church. He was going to be serving God, and had a very, very interesting life, and was really, really good at remembering things and relating things, and he was a really good storyteller. Now, maybe they weren't all facts. Maybe that's what made him such a good storyteller. But I've got a book here put together by one of my aunts or cousins on that side, a second cousin on that side of the family. And she stated in this book many of these stories, most of these come from my grandpa, Felix Dishman, dates and different things that happened. He was able to give her a lot of the information that some of the other people couldn't, some of the other family couldn't. But just real quick about my grandfather. He stayed faithful all through his life, even when some of his children didn't. And I got to agree with Brother Josh. My parents give me a really good base in my life to stay in church. They were just faithful, and like he said, whether I've been backslidden or right with the Lord or what, just stay in there and do what you're supposed to do. But my grandfather, he stayed faithful through all things, and when my grandmother passed away, he stayed faithful. Some of the family turned away from God and went a different way, he stayed faithful. And he was a man. He had a sixth grade education, but he was a businessman and owned slaughterhouses, owned and operated slaughterhouses, grocery stores. He bought and sold a lot of property and developed property. Always had something going. Always busy doing things, being productive, and working up until just a few years before he died. In the area there where we grew up, where I grew up, now that's where he wasn't born there, but he come there as a young man up by Newcastle. Anybody that ever knew Felix Dishman, my grandfather, if you'd ask them, I never had anybody to have anything bad to say about him. He was respected in the area, and he was known as being fair and honest because he dealt with a lot of people. I want to just say I'm very thankful for my Christian heritage and what my family set before me and left me. And a lot of that, like I said, my grandfather, I spent a lot of time with him. But I want to close it with with a little letter here my grandfather wrote. And he had a really good sense of humor and was always into practical jokes, not nothing major, you know, but he was always joking around. But some guys stopped by the house one day and asked about going rabbit hunting. And my grandmother, I think it was my grandmother, the letter here refers to the person as the tenant, but I think it was my grandmother from the way I've always heard this told. She gave them permission, and anyway, so here's this letter, because they didn't actually do what they were supposed to do. It says, an open letter to the three rabbit hunters that went hunting on my farm November 25th, 1953. And he had this published. They published it in the newspaper. My tenant was very kind. She gave you permission to hunt and told you where the hogs you would find. But she did not give you permission to shoot a rabbit so close to the house. Neither did she give you permission to shoot a chicken by the chicken house. Neither did she give you permission to shoot a hog at the back of the farm and load it into your truck and speed away. When she saw you driving a hog down the lane, she thought that it was the strangest thing. Then she heard the shotgun blast. She saw you were working very fast. Doing things like this is a very bad habit. Shooting a hog while hunting a rabbit. If I find out who did this sin, I will not try to send you to the pen, but you better get down on your knees on the floor and send those sins on before you. Then don't do those things no more. If you want to, you can write me a letter. If you tell me why you did it, you might feel better. Send mail to Springport Meat Locker Plant, Box 51. That is where you ought to have your butchering done. And then it says Felix Dishman, Springport Meat Locker Plant, and Box 51, Springport, Indiana. And it says, P.S., all you rabbit hunters, please listen. You can still hunt on my farm if you ask permission, but there are hardly any rabbits left at all, and the hogs are most too small.
Well, I'm pretty nervous, but I like to ad lib on things, especially kind of living I do and all that. So I'm just going to read one verse, and then I'm going to go into it as Hebrews, and at the end of it, I'm hoping you'll see why I read this verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. So obviously there's not enough time for me to thank the Lord for everything. I mean, we'd be here through eternity. I mean, for all that he's done for us, to die for us, to die for me. When I think about it, sometimes when I'm praying, I say, Lord, you know what I was going to be like. Why would you allow me to come into your world? But he did, and he has patience and mercy with me, and thinking of God dying for me as low as I am, I bring nothing to the table, and he brings everything. But I do want to publicly thank the Lord Jesus for dying for me. And I thank Pastor Jerry for allowing me to talk tonight. I want to say, and she told me not to belabor the point, so I won't. But I have such a wonderful wife. I mean, I just can't believe that, and I know y'all have never been to Durham, but part of town I was from is the worst part of town, East Durham. They make fun of it, as Lori can tell you from being in Durham. And to think that a kid from East Durham could marry someone like Lori is just unreal, unreal in the most positive sense. For me, I married up, she married down. But one of the things I was thinking about a little things in the past and something in the last year. The last couple years, to get the home that we have now just almost seemed impossible in our situation. But the Lord worked things out in a miraculous way, in a miraculous way. It would take a while for me to go into details, but I won't. And while I didn't give up, I just kept thinking, well, Lord, you know, I know you can do this, but... And then he did it. He worked it out. We could come back from Indy to here. And I just praise his name for that. I can't give you all the intricacies of that. Just not enough time. And the job that I have now, what I did in Durham, you don't have around here. You don't have that type of job. There's no jobs like that. So he's got me a job right now. I'm not great with technology. I can do a little bit to be dangerous, but not much. So they've got me doing a job now where, and I prayed for this, and Lori did too, where, yeah, I still do a little collections, a little public relations, but I got very little technology, very little. And they just made a position for me. And I know that's just the Lord. I know that it is. And even bumped me and gave me a raise. You know, so one of the things I want everyone, especially young people, don't, when things don't seem exactly right, just keep praying, just keep going to church, just keep reading your Bible, and just stick with the Lord. The other thing is, I just want to thank my parents too. And my mom, she was in a large Italian family, Catholics. That's it. And when she came down south with my dad, which is a story in and of itself, but I won't get into all that, they wanted to raise me. She wanted to raise me as a Catholic. But she started going to church, and she got saved. When she got saved, and it didn't happen right away. And by the way, I hate Catholicism. Detest it. Because those people, those priests, they want you to call them father. They ain't my father. They would let my mom just go on to hell. That's exactly what they do. I love Catholics, but I hate Catholicism. But my mom, my family up north, that they just told her, you know, but while she was being witnessed to, you know, we ain't gonna have nothing else to do with you. I've got nothing else to do with you. And that's really about the only family she had, even though she was down south, about the only family she had, really, except for the immediate family. But, you know, was she going to talk to me about it, being age 6 or 7, and, you know, my sister was 2, and, you know, my dad come home at night. I mean, she missed her brothers and sisters. She grew up with them. She loves them, and her mother and dad. But they all just told her, you know, you can just forget about it. We just disenfranchise you. But she just stuck with the Lord. She said, I'm getting saved, and if it means I'm going to give up my family, I'm going to give up my family because I want to be saved. So she got saved. And I asked her in my mid-20s, I said, Mom, why'd you do that? I'm glad you did, but why did you do that? She said, because I just want Jesus. And that's what I want all you young people to realize, just want Jesus. And everything else will take care of itself. And don't believe everything that Pastor Jerry says about Italians, okay? All right.
Thank you, sir. Hello, everyone. I'm kind of like the last minute, I guess, person that Pastor asked to speak because I guess somebody else couldn't, so he asked me. So I'm thankful for this opportunity, and as he mentioned, you know, if we talked about everything that God has done for us, if we started naming every little thing, we would go on forever. And so, personally, if you don't know this about me already, I can be a talker sometimes. So I'll try not to take too long, but I have a few things. And first thing is, I'm thankful for Psalm 37:28. It says, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever." I'm thankful for eternal security. And my salvation testimony in a nutshell, I grew up in church my whole life, very thankful to my parents for that. And I thought I was saved for years. I remember, you know, making professions as a kid, but didn't really fully understand it. And some young children do understand, I believe, salvation at a young age. For me, I thought I did, really didn't. Personally, I didn't get the really understand the surrender aspect of salvation and actually trusting God with my life. And I think I more prayed prayers because I was told this is what you need to say, right? So I grew up my whole life thinking I was saved, but I doubted it many, many times constantly. And I always wondered about it, but I would just slap it off and be like, there's no way you're not saved, right? And so fast forward 26 years, and a week before I graduate Bible college, been in Bible college for 5 years, about to graduate with a ministry degree, and set of circumstances that came up, like the Lord really just got a hold of me and helped me to understand that I was not saved. And so I was Tuesday afternoon, about 4:20 p.m., May 7th, 2019, sitting in the cafe at Panera Bread on break, and I read my Bible, and I just prayed, Lord, save me. Amen. And I was kind of shocked myself. I was like, is this really happening? And I said, God, can you just give me a verse, something to put my confidence in, that I know this is real, and I'll never have to doubt it ever again. And the next chapter I looked up was Psalm 37. I just began reading. I got to verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. And it continues, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. So I'm very thankful for that. And ever since that day, over 3 years now, I have never doubted it one day. I recognize the rock now that I stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I'm also thankful for this year has brought a lot of amazing blessings, a lot of very new things for me. Getting married, obviously. I'm very thankful for Lynette, my wife. Thankful for her family and the blessing that they've all been to me. And obviously being married is new. Living away from home is new. A lot of changes that the Lord has brought into my life in this year. And I can't really, it would take me too long to get into every detail, but I know God has led the entire way. And even just providing for us as we were planning for our wedding and about to get married, and we had been searching for a place to live for quite a while, and it was like one place was like, oh, it looks like this is going to work, and then that wouldn't work. This place looks like it's going to work, and then that wouldn't work. And then finally, 2 days before our wedding, with the help of Brother Jeff Reiser, a contact he had, the Lord gave us a place to live 2 days before our wedding. Amen. Also, 2 days before our wedding, on the same day, about 2 weeks before the wedding, I didn't tell anybody this at the time, but the job that I had lined up that I'm working now down at Crane, I had gone through, done all the paperwork online and gone back and forth. And, you know, I was like, great, I have this job lined up. And about 2 weeks before our wedding, the company told me that unfortunately the position was filled. I'm like, great. But I'm like, I'm getting married in 2 weeks. I'm moving to Indiana. I can't just not move there now, you know. So but that whole time, God just said, you're going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I didn't even tell till after we were married. I didn't tell that to Lynette. I didn't, because the week of our wedding, she had a million things going on, and she was already stressed through the roof. So, well, she did good. She wasn't that stressed, but I don't want to throw her under the bus. But anyway, I didn't want to stress her out further, is what I'm trying to say. So I didn't even tell her about that. But then two days before the wedding, the company contacted me and said, we now have a position. So that was a blessing. Also, I'm thankful for this church for a lot of reasons. Just thankful for everyone here, the church family, and as I'm still slowly getting to know everyone over time. You've all been a blessing to me and to us, me and Lynette. And I'm thankful for, trying not to get too deep, but I'm thankful for the stand that this church takes, specifically on standards. I'm thankful for Pastor Ross and leading this church and upholding godly standards, understanding that standards matter. Standards, and if I want to get a little more specific, I could say in the areas of music and also dress standards. I several years ago, the Lord helped me to establish standards in my life that, you know, I felt were biblical, and trying to just honor the Lord in those areas. Again, not going to get too deep, but it's a blessing. It's kind of refreshing for me personally to come here to this church that holds the standards highly, because Yeah, my church in Connecticut, I'm not going to throw them under the bus either, but I'll just say I differed with some of the people on staff on standards. There was different viewpoints, and that's between them and the Lord. I'm not knocking them, but I know the Lord led me here, and so it's just kind of refreshing, I guess. I'll just say that. As our brother here mentioned, the songs you sang tonight, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I just wanted to mention, a couple months ago now, you guys, some of you remember when my brother John was in a choir. He was in a quadding accident. And obviously I was very concerned for my brother. And we didn't know kind of at the time how it was going to turn out. He had broken a couple of vertebrae. Didn't know where that could lead or really what would happen long term. Sorry, I didn't try not to get so emotional, but at the time I really, really wanted to go see him and be with him, and just I couldn't make it happen with work and finances and such. But my parents were able to go down from Connecticut down to the hospital in West Virginia where he was and get him home. But just specifically the song Great is Thy Faithfulness, that Wednesday of his accident, here in church, when I was here in the service, we sang that song. And God just used that song specifically, the message of it, to minister to me that he was in control. And so I'm very thankful that now my brother's doing very well. He still wears a back brace, kind of on and off. He's healing very, very well and back into work a little bit, kind of light duty. So it's just encouraging to know where he is now. And last thing I just want to mention I'm thankful for is I'm thankful for, first, the young man that played piano tonight, and then all the other, I've just, as somebody who's interested in music and such, I enjoy when the young people here get up and play instruments, and one thing I've noticed is I've noticed this with every young person that's played an instrument, the violin or the piano or Max with the trumpet, and I've noticed that not only I don't know who all their musical teachers are, but one, they have good teachers, and two, they practice, and that takes a lot. And let me just encourage you guys, all you young people who play, teens, kids, keep practicing, because I used to play, but I didn't practice. So don't do what I did. So keep practicing. You're doing a wonderful job, and I enjoy that. So keep it up.
How do they do that? Well, a lot of people got a lot of praises and thankfulness, but I want to say that there's some things that I'm unthankful for. When I was a teenager, I grew up in a non-Christian home. I went to an extremely liberal church. I don't remember if they even preached salvation or assurance of salvation. And through my teenage years, really bad, horrible, not a good lifestyle. And it wasn't until later on in life, later on until I got married to Esther and stuff, that we moved down in this area of Indiana and we started going to some good churches. And it's like, man, I don't think I'm saved. Well, the Lord, thankfully, never gave up. He didn't let go. And I got that settled, got my assurance of my salvation rock steady and all that stuff. Eventually got married to Esther. We had three kids, grew up, all this stuff. And you know something? There's just a blessing. And a lot of you families know this. And there's just something so thankful to be for, to know that your wife, yourself, and your kids are saved. They're going to heaven. They have the 100% assurance of their salvation. There's no doubt. And that is settled. And that gives me relief to know that even though my life was horrible, I now have that assurance and confidence to know that my kids are saved. God never gave up on us. And I'm thankful for that. I'm very grateful. More so, I thank you for the fact that after we got saved, God didn't say, okay, have you got this? You good to go? He didn't do that. He stayed with us. He helped us. He secured us. He took care of us. He gave us jobs and gave us stuff to keep us going. He took care of us. He never let us go, ever, ever. Never failed us, not one time. Always there. Really, really nice. You know, and I'm just thankful to God for that. The other day I was talking to Esther and I go, how long have we been going to this church here at Blessed Hope? And she goes, I don't know. I think it's about when Matthew was 2. And it's like, oh my, we've been going that long, probably, excuse me, probably 30 plus years. That's a long time. But I know that there's some out here that have been here from the start. And you've been through this and you've seen the blessings of God and all this stuff. And we have, it's too hard or too long to explain how good God has been with us. Many years ago, we came here. We got to be in the ministry. Excuse me, I'm skipping. Under Pastor Robert Ross. Many of you know him, some don't. But you know something? We got to learn about his heart and his desire. And I believe that his heart was to, first of all, love Jesus. That was his heart. He wanted to preach the Bible, preach the gospel, do it straight, no compromise, no compromise. See souls saved here locally and as far in the world that he could get. And that's what he did. And he loved every one of us, preached it firm and straight. That was wonderful. Didn't sway, just taught us the word of God. He loved us so much. And then, you know, I really miss him. I do. I miss him. It's good to see. Someday we'll see him again. But I miss him horribly. And then years later, we got Pastor Jerry. What a blessing. Recently, I've had the opportunity to be with Pastor Jerry and go places with him. And I got to see his heart. I got to see his compassion and what he wants to do. And you know something? He wants to love the Lord with all of his heart. He really does. He wants to preach the gospel. He wants to teach people how to win souls. His desire, I believe, is to reach this area with the gospel, to teach people about Jesus and his love, to reach the world as much as he can through missionaries and things. And it's so wonderful. I'm so thankful for Pastor Robert Ross, who gave us the foundation, the building blocks that we could grow on, and then Pastor Jerry to pick up the mantle and keep on going. And the thing is, do you know what's changed? Nothing. It's the same. And he's preaching the gospel. He loves Jesus with all his heart. And he wants to see people saved. He wants to give God the glory. And I can't be more thankful to have that foundation and growth from a teenager to see where God, he never let us down. He kept us going. He was allowed to have us come here with these people. People, you're great. We love you, and there's been never better support than the people of this church. You folks have been just unbelievable, except for Nathan. Sorry, brother. So now with all that being said, I'm thankful for the opportunity to keep serving, to reach out to the people who are lost in this community and around the world, to love each other, to support each other, to help the little guys along the way, to help them, encourage them, and say, hey, guys, got a great foundation you can build on. A lot to be thankful for. Grow up in this. This is really great. You know, we can serve the Lord, love the Lord, until he comes back. And I think that's so wonderful to be able to do that and serve the Lord in great church. Thank you very much.
Well, good evening. First of all, I want to thank Pastor for the opportunity. There's been several different things rolling in my mind these last couple of days since Pastor has asked me to be one of them to share. And one of the things, I just look back in my life and I realize that whether my parents realize it or not, they had a bigger effect on the choice of the matter, on the choice of where we are at today than what they know. They have moved around in different communities and have actually gotten to where, down in English, Indiana, where we learned more of the Bible for what it is than what we have when we were in Wisconsin. So that was a big help to me, and it, you know, now I'm looking back, I see that it was more in leading us in this direction than what I even knew that time. And so it was just like one of you all mentioned, forget who it was that mentioned about not knowing that you're saved, not having that security. There is nothing worse than sitting in church and hearing the preacher preach about hell and how you're gonna go there, and you know, like basically without any answers of how to not have to go there. And it was always, I mean, I just thought that's my fate. That's where I'll end up in. And when I was a little boy, I fell out of the back seat of our Surrey double-seater buggy, and my dad just stopped the horse just in time before the wheel went over my neck. And I don't remember it, but later on in years I heard the story. And one time I was so in despair, I told my mom, I wish you would have just run on right on over me, because I felt hopeless. Well, I'm thankful for life today. And the thing that I've been really challenged with just this summer is, as you all, most of you all probably know, is that we bought a house this summer. And the thing that I want to talk about is how awesome God was in it and still is. You know, we were like on our way home from church. There was different times. Instead of turning left at the light up here, we went on straight, and we made a point of whenever we passed that house, we would all just quietly pray that God would let us buy that house, if that's his will. And whenever we went straight instead of left, everybody knew what's going on. So, but the day came that we had the closing later on in the summer, and that evening, I just went straight from work to the title company for the closing. And so that evening, so I was by myself in the truck. My wife came with a different vehicle. So it just hit me, like, is the Lord going to be out of the picture now once we have the house? Are we going to just, you know, pray and pray and pray and forget to thank him for it? And I'm just glad that we don't have to wait till that certain Thursday in November to thank the Lord for his blessings. Amen. On the way home from the title company that evening, I made a special point of going past that house this time to thank him for it. Amen. And I just can't help but marvel, you know, what God has done. There's a lot of work to do, but I'm not afraid of work. So I thank God for that too, you know. And then and last but not least, today on my delivery job, I went to Indianapolis to get a pickup and took it to Clinton, Indiana. And I was going along I-70, and all of a sudden, I realized there's a smile on my face. And I was just like, I caught myself just, you know what? And it was a good thing. I was thinking about my wife and my kids. And it was just like, I just caught myself, and it was such a blessing. And I'm just thankful for them. I'm thankful for all that the Lord has done for me and for us. And I just want to take this opportunity to say to you all as a church, thank you for all that you have invested in us as a family to just keep this going. I mean, it's great to be here. And what I really long for is my family to know that they're saved and not try to work it out. Jesus didn't say it's almost finished. He said it is finished. And that's the hope I cling to. Thank you.
Well, Pastor came over last week and he asked me to come up and give you guys my testimony. Boy, are you in trouble. But anyway, I got 67 years to cover. First of all, I'm thankful for a creator that loved me enough that he gave his son for me and for you. Second, I'm thankful for my home and a helpmate that God has provided for me. Third, I'm thankful for this church. Not this building, but each and every one of you that loves me. And I have found through my life that God has watched over me for the last 67 years. I didn't have the opportunity to be raised in a Christian home. And there were three men that have come into my life that I'm real thankful for. The first one, name's Clark Russell. Back when I was 7 years old and in the second grade, Clark was a friend of my dad's, and he come over and asked my dad if he could take me to Sunday school. Well, I can count on this hand the amount of times I went to Sunday school that year. And this Bible is 60 years old. It was given to me by the pastor's daughter at that Sunday school. That summer, I went to Bible camp. But that's all the religion I had when I was a little kid. Then there's Reggie Robershaw. I met him when I was about 11 years old. I was playing with his kids in a park in Bozeman, Montana. And they were from California. Well, people from California are kind of strange to us Montanans. But anyway, I played with their kids and got to talk with Reggie and his wife. And one of the things Reggie did was he reached in his pocket and he gave me a track, the Four Spiritual Laws. And I took that track, put it in my pocket, went home, put it in this Bible. Didn't bother to read it. Then I got to be 18 years old and being in a real bad upbringing and stuff, I decided to leave home and I was tromping around the country. Went to Oregon, found myself down in Fort Worth, Texas. That's when I made a decision to join the United States Navy. Well, they sent me to San Diego, California, and I was going through boot camp, and it dawned on me, well, wait a minute, that fellow that handed me that spiritual track, he lives right up the road here, Spring Valley, California, out of San Diego. So I decided to call Reggie up on the phone and have a little chit-chat with him, and he was real happy that I was in San Diego, California. Then he started telling me about his Navy service, and he says, when you graduate from boot camp, can you come spend a week with us? And I thought, oh, well, yeah, I suppose. And I graduated from boot camp. I went to Reggie's house for a week, and Reggie's family took me to Balboa Park. They took me to SeaWorld. They took me to the San Diego Zoo, and they just give this kid one real great time for a week. Then the last thing Reggie did was, he says, last day here is Sunday, and then you got to leave Monday. He says, would you go to church with us? And I just had a wonderful week with those people. There wasn't no way I was going to turn down going to church with them. And I ended up going to church in what is a mega church. There was 1,250 people in that congregation that morning. And I got separated from the Robershaws in Sunday school, and when they had the main service, I got up and sat second row from the and about the distance Jack is from the pastor, and I listened to that Sunday morning service, and a conviction come over my heart about Jesus Christ, and I decided to go forward and accept him. And when I got done asking Christ into my life and asking him to forgive me for my sins, I turn around and I look back at the congregation, and there sat old Reggie Robershaw, and he'd only been one row behind me, you know, a big old tear going down Reggie's cheek. And Reggie come up and put his arm around me, and he says, you know, I've been praying for you for the last 7 years that I'd get to see you saved. And that's my salvation testimony. Thank you.
If you guys could see how funny you look. You got to do something when you're up here because it's hard. But I do want to thank Pastor for giving me an opportunity to testify on behalf of my Lord. I've made up a list today while I was at work. I was working overtime at the hospital. And so it gave me an opportunity with some of the guys I was working up there. They're like, what are you doing? Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. And then they didn't talk to me the rest of the day. So that's kind of a... It's kind of a thankful blessing, too. Anyway, I'm just going to try to read through this. Some of it is probably not going to make sense to you, maybe anybody but me. But one thing that I've been doing here lately is trying to be more thankful, not just now, just you know the last few years, and trying to concentrate on not just... You know, the things that we think of to be thankful for, but there's really nothing too big to thank God for, and there's nothing too small to thank God for. And so I'm just going to go through some of this. God's sovereignty, and he is on the throne. Amen. The cross, the blood of Christ, salvation, and it's still available to whosoever will. Grace, mercy, forgiveness. The printing press. And the Word of God, the name of Jesus Christ, a wonderful godly wife, wonderful children. Jonathan's back home today, somewhere. Yeah, I don't look for him that much. He never calls, but I'm thankful when he does. Extended family, my church family. That God can use what's meant for evil for our good. Adoption. Mosquitoes and malaria. Speed limits and road signs. All the deer I've missed on my way to work. A good job. My children's jobs and their employers, past and present. Forks and spoons. Running water and hot water. And running sewage. A warm, clean, and dry home. Electricity, lights, and refrigeration. Soft beds and blankets. Buses, bus routes, bus workers, bus kids, bus families, and bus salvations. Church plants, including a little church called Central Baptist Church in Brazil, Indiana. Church planters, including some Rosses. That God is willing to use me to spread the gospel. that I'm an American and that I do still have freedoms and liberty. I'm thankful that the pilgrims didn't turn back. I'm thankful that I can still pray and that I have a God that hears my prayers. I'm thankful for Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm thankful for children and the joy of watching them, seeing what they do, watching them learn, and just the blessing that they are. I'm thankful for the ability to walk and move. I'm thankful for hymns, songs, and music. I'm thankful for food. Thankful for clothing. I'm thankful for trees, grass, and animals, fish. Shoes on my feet that I get to use. I'm thankful that I live in southern Indiana. Rain and snow, emergency workers and the services they provide, life's humbling experiences, co-workers, toothbrushes and toothpaste, humor and laughter, and memories, both good and bad. And I'm also thankful for all of you. Thank you, Lord.
I'm thankful for a pastor and allowing me to do this and having faith in me. And I'm thankful for my family and when someone asked Jasmine to come to church, and then she invited us. And, we kept on riding on the bus, and we finally asked our mom to come. And, she came, and Miss Terry for driving us and coming to pick us up for the Wednesday night church and Sunday night church. And when we became members, and allowing, and pastor for allowing us to come to school, and privilege that we have to be in this church, and him blessing us for everything that we have. We've been given a lot of things, and sometimes we don't even think about thanking God that we don't really give what we don't really deserve what we need, but he gives it to us even though we don't deserve it. And I'm thankful for everything he has done for me in my life, and this church that I've been blessed to come here and privileged to be here, and allowed me to be in a good church family with the good friends that I have met on the way through. And I'm thankful for the messages that I've heard that have impacted my life to become a better person than what I used to be. I'm thankful for everything that I have been given and everything I will be given and on the way through. And I will never take for granted of what God has given me.
Amen. All right. I don't know about you, but my mind went through things that I'm thankful for. Amen. And I hope that was your mind also. And you're probably thankful that I'm not giving a testimony. All right. So that was the last one. And that was enjoyable. That was a blessing to hear. And guys that we don't hear from a lot. And so thank you, men. Thank you. All did a fantastic job.